Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Welcome to this Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, coming to you all on this April 20th, 2020. It is 4/20/2020, and I really hope you all are having a great one out there. It's a beautiful day here in mid-Michigan. Temps in the 60s. I'm looking to my right now out of the window of my apartment, and it's beautiful. The sun is shining. Just a gorgeous day. I really hope you all are off to a safe and productive start of the week. And we got a few things to get to.
What today is current sports?
I want to talk about what we saw last night in the Michael Jordan documentary, The Last Dance. Because we needed this desperately, sports fans. For the last few weeks now, as we go through this pandemic, in light of the cancellation of sports because of the pandemic, it has really been a struggle to dive into certain sports topics, to talk about the sports world, because we aren't talking about live sporting events taking place. So we needed something to get our mind off of that reality. And we needed something to really fill that sports void. And credit to ESPN. They heard the cry of sports fans out there. We knew that the Last Dance documentary was on the horizon. And ESPN did what it needed to do in order to push up the release of this fantastic piece of sports art that profiles the final season of the 1990s Chicago Bulls, that dynasty era, led by the GOAT, Michael Jeffrey Jordan. And not just giving a film crew unlimited access to Jordan and that team, but also digging into the sports history archives and recapping the career of Michael Jordan and breaking down what exactly made him great. And the first episodes aired last night. The first two episodes aired last night. From 9 to 10, you had episode 1. And then from 10 to 11, you had episode 2. And I gotta say, folks, The Last Dance did not just only deliver, but they knocked it out the park. And I'm just hoping that the next 8 episodes are like the first 2 episodes, because it was compelling on many different levels. So during our discussion and debate period here on WKAR's Current Sports, I'm primarily going to be centering on the Last Dance documentary, and it's going to premiere. Those episodes are going to premiere each and every Sunday on ESPN. So at least for the next 4 Mondays here on Current Sports, that documentary will be the foundational discussion topic of the show, because what else is there to talk about, right? And I particularly can't wait until this Sunday, because we're gonna get a peek behind the blinds, a peek behind the curtain
of the Chicago Bulls and Detroit Pistons battles of the 1980s, which I can't wait for. I mean, the Detroit Pistons in the 80s, when Mike was trying to win championship number one, they were that team standing in the way of Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls, knocking the Bulls on their rear ends, literally, and preventing Mike from taking flight and becoming Air Jordan. I can't wait for this weekend's episode because they're really going to dive into that. But we saw, you know, a lot of different NBA greats coming out and talking about the greatness of Michael Jordan. Our own Lansing's favorite son, Magic Johnson, Irvin Magic Johnson, he weighed in and had some very candid thoughts on the first two episodes of the documentary, which I'll get to in just a moment. Isaiah Thomas was on the documentary as well. Larry Bird was a part of the documentary. And they got a lot of the voices of the Bulls alongside Michael Jordan's that were a part of the doc. Got a few things I want to note when it comes to Scottie Pippen, arguably the greatest Robin in NBA history, and that's not a slight when you are playing Robin to Michael Jordan's Batman. And why the Bulls broke up in the first place. Jerry Krause, what in the world were you thinking? So we'll have a lot of that coming your way. But until we do have the current sports quick hit headliners to get to. Before we do that, I want to let you guys know you can weigh in. Multiple ways to do so. Simply by going to Facebook.com/WKAR News. You can leave us a comment there and comment on the show that way. You can tweet us, tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. You can also pick up the phone and text us at 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. You know what's next, though? Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. Okay, let's start here. Some news coming out of Michigan State football's camp as MSU football coach Mel Tucker appears to have made the Detroit area a priority for the 2021 recruiting class. He is starting to see those efforts really come to fruition as the Spartans landed their third commit from Metro Detroit on Friday afternoon as three-star defensive end Tyson Watson from Warren Mott announced his intentions on Twitter. How about that? Watson chose the Spartans over his other four finalists, those being Tennessee, Iowa State, Indiana, and Toledo. So Tyson Watson from Warren Mott, how about that? Announcing his intention on Twitter to play for Mel Tucker. Again, three-star defensive end. Gotta love that. All right, some Michigan State women's basketball news as a Lansing area great is going to be returning home. Michigan State head women's basketball coach Susie Merchant announced on Sunday the addition of Alicia Smith to the 2020-2021 roster. Smith comes to Michigan State as a transfer from Penn State and is a native of Lansing. Smith, a 6'3" forward, was a graduate of Waverly High School. The Penn State transfer averaged 6.4 points, 5.3 rebounds per game as a junior. The forward was fourth on the team in scoring and tied for first in rebounding, scoring in double figures seven times last season. And during the 2018-2019 year, Smith started 23 games before suffering a season-ending injury. So this is awesome stuff to see Alicia Smith coming back to Lansing and playing for head coach Susie Merchant. Wishing her well. All right, the Washington Nationals, they may have to wait a while to properly celebrate their first World Series banner. The team was previously scheduled to raise its 2019 banner 2 weeks ago during their home opener, But the ongoing coronavirus pandemic obviously meant that that wasn't going to happen. So now games clearly aren't going to be happening for a while, and it's going to be even longer before fans are allowed into stadiums to watch them. That raised the awkward question of when the Nationals and possibly other teams, as we move through the sports calendar, will actually hold their banner-raising ceremony. Nationals GM Mike Rizzo, he told MLB Network Radio on Sunday that the team is prepared to wait as long as it takes. But right now, the Washington Nationals are going to have to wait to raise that banner. And we all know about the controversy when it comes to the Washington Nationals in the offseason, as the whole cheating scandal and the videotapes of signal stealing were found, all of that jazz. So when it comes to the Nationals, I could really care less, but I know there are some baseball fans out there who are Nationals fans who may want to know about that banner-raising ceremony. So, all right, speaking of the MLB, MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred, he will inform teams on Monday, today, that he will suspend uniform employees' contracts, allowing clubs to furlough or reduce the pay of team employees amid the coronavirus pandemic. That's according to The Athletic. Now, the decision will now give teams greater flexibility in handling non-playing personnel. Clubs will not be required to take such measures, which are expected to go in effect on May 1st, but it will allow teams to get more financial relief during the global health crisis. The provision Manfred is suspending allows Major League Baseball to withhold pay in the event of an emergency. So this is not, in effect, like firing team employees due to the pandemic. It's just allowing MLB teams to explore other financial options. And come May 1st, again, they can look for financial relief during the health crisis and, withhold pay in the event of an emergency, if things are continuing to get really, really murky. So it allows for more flexibility there. Okay, the 2020 NFL draft is now just days away. Can you believe that? And the projected number one pick in LSU quarterback Joe Burrow, the national champion that he is starting to prepare himself for life as a pro player. And the 2019 Heisman Trophy winner, he was looking for advice. So guess what? He picked up the phone and called another number one overall draft pick, who also happens to be an NFL Hall of Famer, in Peyton Manning. How about that? Peyton Manning talked about the phone call he got from Burrow on Sunday SportsCenter. Burrow appeared at the Manning Passing Academy camp last summer, so the two know each other and have stayed in touch. Manning had a lot of advice for Burrow, who has to be ready to face adversity as his career begins. I mean, anytime you are the number one overall NFL draft pick, there's going to be some pressure, especially when you play arguably the most important position in all of sports as quarterback. So very smart move there, Joe Burrow, reaching out to Peyton Manning, one of the greats to ever play the game. Love that. Okay, and in just a moment, I'm going to give you my biggest thoughts and takeaways from last night's first two episodes of The Last Dance Chicago Bulls documentary. But it's being reported that, when it comes to the release of this documentary, there is an interesting layer here. Michael Jordan had total control of the footage filmed during his final season with the Chicago Bulls, but the videos sat in New Jersey for nearly 20 years untouched. According to ESPN's Ramona Shelburne, Jordan agreed for the footage to be released on the day of the Cleveland Cavaliers championship parade back in 2016. So the day of that parade for LeBron James and the Cavs, that's when basically Jordan said, release the tapes. The never-before-seen clips are being used, of course, in the ESPN 10-part doc series. And Jordan's decision reportedly came at a scheduled meeting in Charlotte, North Carolina, where he listened to a pitch from producer Mike Tollin. An 8-episode documentary was originally laid out along with pages of pictures and quotes. After he read every page and acknowledged how he enjoyed Tolan's documentary on Allen Iverson, Jordan finally agreed it was time, saying, quote, "Let's do it," end quote. I love that. I love that. I got some thoughts and points I want to make concerning Michael Jordan on the day of the Cleveland Cavaliers 2016 parade, on that day deciding that, okay, it's time to release the tapes. I got some thoughts on that, all right? Stick around. Also want to note here that at least 300 people will be required in Premier League stadiums. That's even if games are played without fans when the coronavirus halted season can resume. That's according to a West Ham exec. Now, the 20 EPL clubs held a conference call on Friday when the league said they agreed the objective remains to complete the season, with teams having up to 10 games each remaining. The earliest the league can restart looks to be June, with Britain in lockdown until at least the first week of May. This is what West Ham Vice Chair Karen Brady wrote in her column in Saturday's editions of the Sun newspaper. Quote, "Police officers will need to be at games even if they are behind closed doors, as some supporters will travel to the stadium even if they cannot come to watch. But the police will want to ensure attending matches does not drain resources away from other matters." Which makes sense, right? I mean, if you got police officers trying to police games, even if they are without fans, because you all know some fans are still going to try and come to the stadium and support their club and ignore those orders. That is pulling police resources from where they really need to be, right? And those are your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, multiple ways in which you can weigh in. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com. Again, text that number. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News and leave us a comment there. Tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, I'll tell you my biggest takeaways from last night's first two episodes of The Last Dance, Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls docuseries. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Happy Monday to you all. I really hope you all are having a great, great Monday afternoon. I tell you what, I had a great Sunday night watching what everybody's talking about in the sports world today, that being The Last Dance sports documentary centered on the Chicago Bulls of the 90s. Those first two episodes were just unbelievable, right? I mean, I had high expectations for this docuseries when it was announced because, I mean, we're talking about the GOAT, the greatest of all time in Michael Jeffrey Jordan. You got to do it right. And when I heard that a film crew in that final year of the dynasty in 1997-1998 was given unlimited access and had all of this footage stockpiled, I even raised my bar for this docuseries even higher, because now you got some toys to play with. You're not dealing with the same footage that we've been watching for years. You're dealing with some stuff that a lot of people have not seen. That footage, as I mentioned in the headliners, has been sitting in New Jersey just waiting to be released. So I want to give you my thoughts, the biggest takeaways on what we saw last night. If you didn't check it out, what is wrong with you? Please make that a priority today at some point. All right. You're quarantined. I know many of you just been sitting back watching Netflix and Amazon Prime left and right. Right. So please check out The Last Dance. And it looks as though I don't have to tell many people to do that, because last night after The Last Dance premiered, it was the number one trending topic on Twitter. Hashtag The Last Dance was the number one trending topic on Twitter. And we all know how many people are on Twitter. Just simply amazing. And I want to start here first off, and I want to say this. I want to go back to that headliner, according to ESPN's Ramona Shelburne, Michael Jordan, when he agreed on this docuseries, the day that he agreed on this docuseries, it was the day of the 2016 Cleveland Cavaliers championship parade. Look, folks, I mean, you saw it on display last night. Michael Jordan is the most competitive human being in sports history. Watching LeBron James win that NBA championship and watching people throw LeBron James's name in the same category, in the same sentence as him, you better believe that that did something to Michael Jordan's psyche. Because legacy is everything in sports. I don't care which athlete you're talking about. Legacy is everything, especially for a man like Mike, who is still universally looked at as the greatest of all time. There's nobody close, in my opinion, but I feel like there are many people out there who have forgotten or just don't know about Michael Jordan's greatness. So this serves as a reminder that, yeah, this is why I'm that dude. You better believe it played a factor. Watching all of Gen Z come out, oh, the greatest of all time. Michael could have never led that kind of incredible comeback in the 2016 NBA Finals against one of the greatest teams of all time in the Golden State Warriors. Mike could have never done what LeBron James did. Down in a 3-1 hole, Mike, I'm sure, was sitting there saying to himself, look, man, I was so dominant that I was never down 3-1 in the NBA Finals. I was stepping on team's throat from the get-go come game one of the Finals. We never got into a hole like that. Because I was that good, our team was that good. But you know, young pups don't know that. So I love that you know, this news has come out that Jordan reportedly made the decision to release the tapes on the same day that LeBron James and the Cavs are parading around Cleveland, hoisting up the coveted NBA Finals championship trophy. Love that. Again, that's when, again, the Cleveland Cavaliers, they came back from that 3-1 deficit against the 73-win Golden State Warriors and won the franchise's first championship. There was a purpose behind that. I want to say that. And one, I got to say this, man. My goodness. Scottie Pippen. The fact that Scottie Pippen on that Chicago Bulls team was the sixth highest paid player on that roster. It's just mind-blowing. It's just mind-blowing. I mean, you know, when you look at it, Scottie Pippen playing, as I stated, the Robin to the greatest basketball player of all time, to his Batman, to Michael Jordan's Batman, for years. And you had Mike coming out on that documentary and saying that, you know, from here on out, when people speak about the greatness of Michael Jordan, you have to bring up and talk about Scottie Pippen in the same breath. I mean, that's high, high praise. And this dude was the sixth highest player on his own team, 122nd highest paid player in the league at the time.
Everybody needs that number two, the person that does the dirty work, and Pippen was great at it.
Three again.
But he was so low paid, he was not even the 100th highest paid player in the NBA.
Pippen is as underpaid gets, only the 122nd highest paid player in the league.
Scottie Pippen signed a deal in 1991. Do you recall the terms of that deal?
I don't recall the terms, but I do recall that it was a longer contract than I thought was smart for him.
Scottie Pippen signed a deal in 1991 for 7 years for $18 million. And if he played it right, he could have made nine times that amount, 10 times.
I said to Scottie the same thing I'd said to Michael. If I were you, I wouldn't sign this contract. You may be selling yourself too short. It's too long a contract that you're locking yourself in for.
I felt like I couldn't afford the gamble myself, getting injured and not being able to provide. I needed to make sure that people in my corner were taken care of.
He did take care of my dad, my mom. He built them a house. He sent them money every month and everything, made sure they taken care of.
I don't know nothing that I need or want. Some of the things I don't have to ask him for. So I feel like he loved me. I know I love him.
He signed a long-term deal, and it was undervalued pretty quickly.
The league took off. You know, revenues went way, way up. Salaries went up.
Jerry Reinsdorf was emphatic about it when guys signed the contract.
I don't want to hear from you again. Don't come back and try to renegotiate.
It was embarrassing because he was maybe the number two player in the NBA. His value was immense.
You know what? I found it. It's okay on this one, but on my other, my patella doesn't.
When we got to 97 and 98, and that was the last year of Scottie's contract, I know he was very frustrated because Scottie needed to get paid. He deserved to get paid.
There was a lot of anger from Scottie. You know, he'd been one of the best players in the game for many years. He had done so much for the Bulls. So his frustration bubbled over.
The world champs making news this week. Scottie Pippen of the Bulls will be out for 2 to 3 months. Pippen underwent surgery Monday on a sore foot in New York. It's an injury that's been bothering him dating back to the Eastern Conference Finals.
I had a ruptured tendon in my ankle, and I decided to have surgery late because I was like, you know what? I'm not going to f*** my summer up trying to rehab for a season.
That's a crime. And Chicago needs to be cutting this man checks right now to make up for that crime. That's insane. I really felt for Scottie. I mean, many people are today. I mean, you'll see, if you haven't already, you'll see so many people coming out on social media and saying that this is, you know, what? Scottie Pippen was being paid that much? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? So many people reacting to that news. I couldn't believe it. And, I mean, I think a lot of people forget because it's easy to, right? It's easy to forget that Scottie Pippen is one of the top 50 greatest players of all time. It's easy to forget that he is arguably the greatest two-way player of all time. I mean, he was unbelievable. Watching those highlights of Scottie Pippen, and I did not know that Scottie Pippen was a manager and worked his way into becoming a player that good. Gosh. But you got also, and this is why the doc is so well written, you understood where Scottie was coming from to a certain degree. I mean, this is a guy who had a father
who was in a wheelchair due to a stroke, and a brother who had a freak high school wrestling accident who was also in a wheelchair. Scotty was trying to look at security, financial security for his family at the time. He didn't know that he would turn out to be the player that he would be. I scratched that, because there was a part in the documentary where I think it was Charles Oakley. Oak came out and said that, you know, when Scotty came on the team, he said that he was going to be better than Michael Jordan at the time. So Scotty was confident. Don't get me wrong. But Scotty also realized that, you know, success in the NBA can be fleeting and anything can happen. He's looking at his family and looking at long-term stability, and he's looking at that contract and saying, okay, if I sign this contract, this long-term contract, I'm guaranteed pay for that amount of time. No matter what happens, I'm signing on the dotted line because I want to provide for my family. Even though he failed to look at the big picture, that if he continues to be a top-tier player for the Chicago Bulls alongside Michael Jeffrey Jordan, you could earn a lot more than that. And my goodness, the Chicago Bulls upper echelon. Oh my gosh, the GM and the owner, Jerry Krause. What are you thinking? And then you got Jerry Reinsdorf. The two Jerrys were just totally selfish here. You know, Reinsdorf came out and said, look, man, when I sign you to a contract, I don't want to hear from you again, period. I don't care how good you turn out to be. I'm getting you for this price. I don't owe you a thing. Great business smarts, but from a moral code standard, totally wrong. Reinsdorf and Krause, wrong. And then there were parts in the doc where you had Scottie Pippen yelling from the back of the bus and openly going at Jerry Krause to the point where Phil Jackson, the team, has to say, chill out, Pip. I get Pip's frustration. I may have been doing the same thing. My goodness. So that was so eye-opening watching that and hearing the details of the Scottie Pippen contract. That was certainly one of the huge takeaways from last night. And then also what I loved, you know, in the doc, you know, the Pippen part was a little disturbing, but it was entertaining to get insight to that. But the other part that was really entertaining was seeing the relationship that the team had with Jerry Krause, that Jordan had. And again, just how open they were in going at Jerry Krause. I mean, you had Michael Jordan on some of those behind-the-scenes footage clips, you know, kind of openly just going at Jerry Krause and making fun of his height and that kind of thing. I love the end of episode one where, you know, it showed the ring ceremony for championship number 5 before the start of the 1997-1998 year, where you have Jordan and the team in the back about to come out the tunnel, when you had that famous Chicago Bulls music, the theme song of the Chicago Bulls playing in the background, and then the episode ends. And by the way, that Chicago Bulls theme was done by the Alan Parsons Project, if you're ever interested in that. That's the intro for the team, which became like their unofficial theme song, right? But just that footage, that behind the scenes footage, and that showed the strained relationship between the Bulls and Jerry Krause, and then that showed Michael Jordan, you know, being so competitive. And that's my next takeaway. We got some insight into why Michael Jordan is who he is. Competitively, Michael Jordan, you know, and that's how I adopted a lot of my competitive drive. I actually went live on Instagram. For all of my followers out there, you guys know I went live on Instagram before The Last Dance premiered at like 8:50, like 10 minutes prior to the show airing. And then a little bit after, like around like 11:15, I went live for like 20 minutes. to give my pre and post thoughts on the series. And I before in the pre show, if you will, I brought out all of my Michael Jordan VHS tapes. Show you how crazy of a fan I am. I brought out all of my Michael Jordan VHS tapes, all of his highlight videos of Michael Jordan's playground, Michael Jordan's airtime, Michael Jordan's Above and Beyond, and Michael Jordan's Come Fly With Me. Then I brought out some VHS tapes. A lot of you may not even know what VHS tapes are, but some VHS tapes of when my grandfather recorded some games from the 90s of Michael's that I still have. And just kind of talked about his greatness and how I adopted a lot of that personality of Mike, a lot of that competitive drive, because I saw how driven he was. And I would go off on my teammates from time to time, and that got me in trouble with my head coach, Coach Yoches, back at Annapolis High. And, you know, I remember my freshman year of college when I played on an intramural basketball team. That included my two roommates in college, Horacio and Johnny at the time, and we lost, and I didn't talk to them for about a week. A lot of that drive and competitive nature was derived from Michael Jordan, and I still carry a lot of that to this day. But why was Mike that way? Where did he draw that competitive spirit from? And a lot of that had to do with his brother Larry, the family dynamic, and Michael wanting to always compete with his brother Larry, who gave him trouble, man, on the basketball court back in the day and talked trash and got into Michael's head, and then vying for the approval of his late father, his dad, who, you know, there was a moment where his dad talked about how, you know, he would have Michael in the yard and they were working on a car and he would ask for, a pair of pliers or a wrench, and Mike would give him the wrong thing, and then he would say, "Go get back in the house, bring Larry out here," and how that really was demoralizing for Mike, because he wanted to be out there proving to his dad that he was capable of doing the same job that Larry could do, if not better. So Michael talked on that documentary last night that he would not be the competitive Michael Jordan that he became if it wasn't for his brother Larry. I love that. We got a peek behind the curtain there. And then talking about Michael's high school years, how he was cut from the varsity team. Well, he didn't make the varsity team in the first place as a sophomore. How demoralizing that was, going home that day to his mom crying and his mom saying, "Look, you got to work real hard in the off season this summer." And he just worked his tail off. Growing from 5'10 to 6'3 that next year, and then again, hard work and talent, you know, using those guard skills he developed as a 5'10 player and putting that into a 6'3 body, turning himself into one of the best players in the high school ranks, going to North Carolina. And then I love the North Carolina part. I love that part. You know, James Worthy talking about, yeah, Michael Jordan coming to campus and how you know, Worthy was the best player for about 2 weeks. And that was until Michael Jordan came to the school and just worked harder than everybody else. Worthy tells a story of how they were playing, where they were practicing for 2 hours, 2.5 hours, drenched in sweat. And Mike, as they're walking up the court, is nudging James like, "Let's play some one-on-one, man. I want to still work on my game." Like, dude, that drive isn't normal. It's just different. Very few human beings have that. When you combine crazy talent with crazy hard work, you get something special and at times one of a kind. And that's what Michael Jordan was. He worked his tail off. He worked harder than you. He loved the challenge of trying to prove people wrong. And then they profile the national championship in the early 80s, North Carolina versus Georgetown, the shot that changed everything for MJ. Mike talked about how it took him from being known as Mike Jordan to Michael Jordan. And then coming into the league and then the injury. And I'm going to get to that
after this final break. I want to talk about the injury, because that was also one of my favorite parts of the documentary. Michael breaking his foot, that rehab process, and what happened when he came back. All right, so we'll continue talking The Last Dance on this Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. We'll hit our final break. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We have centered the show on last night's sporting event. That was The Last Dance premiere, the docuseries profiling Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls in the 1990s in that final year. And, you know, I gave you some of my biggest takeaways, you know, the Scottie Pippen contract. That was huge, a huge revelation that many didn't know about. The Jerry Krause situation and the strain there. And Jerry Krause is basically the reason why that Chicago Bulls dynasty did not continue, because of his big ego. He had a Napoleon complex. He felt like he should have been getting more credit. And he basically told Phil Jackson, isn't that amazing? He told Phil Jackson, who was at the height of his powers, you have the most popular team in all of sports, and the Chicago Bulls coming off championship number 5. Krause wants to go in a different direction. Can you believe that? So before the 1997-98 year even starts, Jerry Krause meets with Phil Jackson and says that, I don't care what you do, this will be your last year. We want to go into a different direction. Before the year even starts, Jerry Krause, rest in peace. But man, oh man, was that a bad decision. Gosh, Mike could have won 8 championships. He could have had 8 rings, in my opinion. So that revelation was big. You know, I talked about how the doc mentioned or gave you some backstory as to why MJ was so competitive. I loved how it touched on when Scottie Pippen was hurt going into that final year. Michael took it as a personal challenge to needle his teammates and get them mentally to a level that he knew that they were tough enough to go through the grind of an NBA year to possibly get championship number 6 and hold down the fort. Get those guys to hold down the fort until Scottie Pippen came back. Jordan embraced that challenge, and he liked it. He was different, guys. There are many superstars that would have wallowed and said, oh, my goodness, I don't have my sidekick with me. My goodness, this is upsetting. Jordan embraced it. Just a different dude. And then what was arguably my favorite part of the doc last night was the 63-point performance against Larry Legend, Bill Walton, DJ, Kevin McHale, Robert Parrish. I mean, that team was stacked. That Boston Celtics team of the 80s, stacked. Michael Jordan, just coming off that foot injury, right? They were limiting his minutes to 7 minutes per half. They finally let the leash off, as Jordan somehow, in those minutes restrictions, he played the most important minutes of the games and was able to get the Chicago Bulls in the playoffs. They play top seed Boston in the East. And Jordan, and you know, it's so funny, man. I was sitting on the couch, and I was sitting there and said, oh, man, they're about to show now the 63-point game. But they didn't at first. If you remember, they show the 49-point performance that he had just before the 63-point performance against one of the greatest teams in NBA history. The Boston Celtics of the 80s were stacked. It was Magic and Larry going at it. And Michael Jordan went out there after he, you know, got the leash taken off and the minutes restrictions were out the window. Like Mike said, man, it was like taking the leash off of a hungry dog.
and he went off. He ate in that series, and they couldn't stop him. And I thought, I totally forgot about the 49-point game because so much is made of the 63-point performance. I have that game on DVD that we forget about the 49-point game. And I didn't know the backstory. I didn't know that Mike, before the 63-point game, he played golf with Danny Ainge. And Danny Ainge ate him up on the golf course. Mike didn't play well. Took some of his money. Jordan was so heated that he told Danny Ainge to tell DJ that he had something special for him tonight.
The first game, the guy scores 49, but I don't think anybody expected going into the next game what was going to happen. He was scoring at will. Dunks, bankers, he'd get in the middle and shoot over guys.
I played practically every minute in the second game. I just never stopped.
Threw it on a switch, Bird, guard, and Jordan made the jumper anyway.
Stan Auerbach kept putting me in isolated situations, and I just took advantage of my youth and my energy.
Jordan trying to use his quickness, and it works.
Jordan with 31, bullseye. Jordan against Ainge, spins into the lane, scoops the shot up, and in and draws the foul.
We all took our cracks at him that day. It wasn't one guy. DJ was our best defensive player, and he picked up four fouls early in the third quarter.
Four fouls on Dennis Johnson. Welcome to the club.
I was on him for a while. Danny was on him. DJ was on him a lot.
I remember laughing in the middle of the game because Walton was cursing me out because he had to guard Jordan on a few occasions.
Walton with five. Next foul, and he's gone. Jordan isolated one-on-one. They come out.
Walton fouled out.
Jordan has shot 18 free throws and made 16.
He goes out there, and DJ is Dennis Johnson, a guard for the Celtics at the time, who was primarily in charge of slowing Michael Jordan down, but Jordan had a piece of everybody that night, that series, I should say. He goes out there and scores 63 points in a losing effort, but nonetheless, that performance was so epic that it's my favorite Michael Jordan-related quote of all time. It was so epic that Larry Bird, after the game, said, "It was God disguised as Michael Jordan." This isn't some Joe Blow saying this quote. It's Larry Legend. Larry Bird, one of the greatest basketball players of all time, saying that, "I thought it was God disguised as Michael Jordan." Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And watching those highlights, man, just looking at how freakishly athletic Mike was, how graceful he was on the court, he just moved different than everybody else. And that's why, you know, when people try to make these, you know, a final point here, when people try to make these comparisons to LeBron James, it's not even close to me because of the way Michael Jordan approached the game and the way he played it. He was just so entertaining to watch. When I watch LeBron James, it's more of a clunky kind of powerful move out my way kind of game. Not real appealing to the eye. Watching Michael Jordan play, I mean, just looking at those highlights, it was an art. He was a painter out there. And man, oh man, was the picture beautiful. So I loved it. I loved it, man. And I can't wait. It just further more gets me excited for the other eight parts of this series. I know at some point, maybe even today, I'm going to watch those first two episodes over again. So good on so many levels. How did you like it? Text us at 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. Leave us a comment there and tweet us. Tweet me at AlMartinWKAR. Tweet the show at WKAR News. I'll get to some of your reactions and the reactions from around the basketball world in general, because there are so many players out there and basketball fans who are opening up
well, I should say, being awakened at the greatness that is Michael Jordan, and man, oh man, is it a beautiful thing. We'll see you on the Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Be safe, be smart, and as always, be easy, people.